And, of course, in Matthew chapter 16, we have God's plan for the age. And we won't spend a lot of time talking about that, but Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And the Lord said unto Peter, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, in Matthew is the only gospel that talks about the church, the only gospel that uses the word church. And it's interesting, as I thought about why is it in Matthew and not any of the others? I'm not sure why, but Matthew's written to the Jews, and it really stands in sharp contrast to the synagogue and the temple and Judaism. And God is predicting He's going to establish a new institution, and that is the church, and that is God's plan for the age. If you go to Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, we see another great truth about church planting in Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, we need to take a close note of this verse, because this verse is really the hub of church planting. It gives us the procedure of church planting. Notice it says, But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, most people are, most of us are kind of one-horse people. And we think of one thing. And we get stirred up about one thing. But in this verse, it says, Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and uttermost parts of the earth. The Bible has a picture here of a simultaneous preaching and spreading of the gospel. Now, this is how many times people work. You know, they get on one horse. They get on church planting, or they get on missions, or they get on whatever. But I see an important picture here. I see that there is a big picture that before and while a church is spreading the gospel to Judea and Samaria, out of the most parts of the world, they are still at the same time to be preaching the Word of God right at Jerusalem. And the picture of the Bible is very clear. Without a strong hub, there's no church planting. It's all dead end. It all will fall apart. You have to have a strong hub. And that means there has to be continuous preaching. Now, I think right now the fact is the majority, this is probably a startling fact, the majority of the witnessing that's going on in this church is just one group of people. Just one group of people. The majority of it. These are the same people who really have a burden about starting churches. And, you know, if you think about that, if those people would leave and start churches, it means this one would die. And so we see a big picture here is that we as a people need to be burdened about reaching Maquoneagle. And not only ought we be burdened for reaching Maquoneagle, we ought to be reaching Maquoneagle. And if we aren't reaching McQuanagle, if we aren't effective in getting out the gospel, we need to be crying to God to work in our hearts. And we need to be crying to God to take away our coldness and take away our ineffectiveness. You know, we can say anything we want about the mega churches, and the sad thing is, they're just like the Mormons in a lot of ways. Whoever was preaching the other day said, you know, the Mormons, Pastor Nordgren from Utah. The Mormons, they choose an area, they start a ward, they put a bunch of money in it, and they get hundreds of people. And the Holy Spirit isn't in it 1 ounce. But it's all organization, it's all planning, it's all human effort. But you know, the work of God takes spiritual effort. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. And every one of us need to ask this question, especially us adults here. We need to ask ourselves the serious question, why aren't we reaching people for Jesus Christ? And there's only one reason. It's because we're not filled with the Spirit. And if we're not filled with the Spirit, it's because of a number of reasons. But the bottom line is, we're not hungry for it. And we're not hungry for it because we haven't committed ourselves to do what God has told us to do. And if we're not committed to doing what God told us to do, we don't need it. We can just enjoy life and let somebody else win people to Christ. But so we find there's this simultaneousness. And obviously there's this continuous witnessing. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, it says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Everywhere. And you know, it's really, the other day I was at a store and I left there and I didn't talk to the person about their soul. And actually, as I was thinking about later, you know, I think, you know, if you really aren't thinking about people's souls, you don't know what to say. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to say, and you don't say anything. But because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, everywhere they went, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. We see this great truth. Now, the people, let's see the people who started churches. Now, Acts chapter 13. It tells us the people that were the first missionaries. Notice what it says, Acts 13. It says, now there were in the church that it was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now the preacher last night, he mentioned this. Who does God call? He said, God calls busy people. God calls working people. In this case, who did God call? You know what he called? It says, as they ministered to the Lord. As they ministered to the Lord. I think this is the spiritual truth that every young person needs to know. Every young person needs to know this truth. Okay? If you want to be in God's will for your life, you need to understand this. Notice they were busy serving the Lord in their church. And those that were busy serving the Lord in their church, what happened? Among those, God said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Now, you know, when we came to Wisconsin to start a church, my heart was to start a church in Delafield. I grew up there, never heard the gospel one time my whole life, never knew there was another Christian, such a thing as a born-again Christian. Nobody ever talked to me about Jesus Christ. I had never met a Christian in that town that I knew of. Boy, I want to go back to that local town. That town needed the gospel. And as we came back and we tried to go through that town, talk to people, and we just didn't see any open door. We didn't see that the Lord was in it. And we came to the conclusion, this is not where God wants us to go. And I didn't know what to do. And so I did what I knew the Bible said I was supposed to do. The week that I decided that there's no, we had a Bible study started, and we were having a Bible study every week. The week that I decided that there wasn't going to be any church planted in Delafield by the Robertses, I said to Pastor, it's just not there. God doesn't open the door. This isn't where we're supposed to go. And so, Pastor, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to just do everything I can for God right here. I'm going to do everything I can for God right here. I'm going to do put all my effort into this church. And I'm going to go bus calling. I'm going to go get involved in every ministry I can get involved in. I'm going to get busy. And that's what I did. I just got busy. And maybe they didn't want me around. I don't know. Maybe they thought I was going to get too busy. And I don't know. But about 2 weeks later, Pastor Cheadle said, you know, you ought to think about going to McQuanville. I didn't know it. But just a couple weeks previous to that. In fact, it was in September or October. About September, I just said to the pastor, it's not going to happen. It just, this isn't God's will. And I didn't know it, but in October, there's a man who tried to start a church for 6 months in McQuanville, and or more than that, a year, and he just said, that's it, we're leaving. And so he left. And after he made that decision to leave, just a few weeks after, I came to this other conclusion and said, well, I got to just do what God wants me to do, get busy serving the Lord. And Pastor Jesus said, you ought to think about going to McQuanville. Like I said, it was about November 15th of 1976 that he said that to me. But what are the people? The people who are busy serving the Lord. And you know what? Think about it. Jesus said, I'll build my church. And you know what? There's a lot of you folks, you do a lot of work for the Lord. That's important, and there's a lot of places to serve, and we're glad we don't hog all our people. We like to have them serve wherever they can serve. But you know what? Everybody still ought to do all that they can in their local church. And we all ought to have a burden to reach someone for Jesus Christ. And you know what? You think about that. That person you reach for Jesus Christ, they might be the next missionary. They might be the next church planner. They might be the next person who knows someone somewhere else that needs to be saved and will begin be the beginning of a new church somewhere else. And so we see the people. And notice the Lord said to the church, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Notice how God works. He calls people, and no one can start a church except they're called. I guarantee you, nobody can start a church except they're called. There might be, you know, I was thinking about it. We'll get there later. Okay? It has to be God. Number one, God has to call a person to do it. You can't do it unless you've been called to do it. And so we find this process. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 16. This is a great truth here of the details of the starting of a church? Where do you start a church? When do you start it? How does it happen? It says in Acts chapter 16, it says, verse 6, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas." Now, at the time of this writing, of the time of this happening in history, how many of those cities had a New Testament church?
None.
There wasn't a church in any of those cities. Was there a great need? Yep, there was a great need in every one of them. But the Lord said to Paul, "Nope, nope, nope, no." The need does not constitute the call. But notice the leading of the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 9, "A vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after I had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia." Now if you read your Bible, you know, verse 7, "And when they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia. And they, passing by Mysia, came to Troas." Notice the "they" and verse number 9 and verse 10. After the vision, it says, "And we endeavored to go to Macedonia." Now, Luke is joining Paul's team. Now, this is my theory. I didn't get it from myself. But it's very possible that Luke came to Troas from Macedonia and said to Paul, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And that night, the Lord, in a dream, used a vision to show to repeat this scene and confirmed to him that this was of the Lord. And immediately at that point, Luke joins the team, and they got everything ready to go to Macedonia. And so what do we have? We have the leading of the Holy Spirit. We have an open door. We have a definite open door. And here's a man saying, "Come over and help us." And the Lord confirmed that. And the Bible tells us they got to Philippi. And it says they went to the riverfront where prayer was wont to be made. Verse 14, "And a certain woman who named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, and whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." What do we have? We have now not only an open door, come and help us, we have prepared hearts. We have prepared hearts. And here's a woman, a Jewish woman, if not a Jewish, a proselyte. And the Bible says the Lord had opened her heart. You know, it's kind of like this bus ministry that we... and do pray for Jordan. He was going to be here tonight, and wasn't there when they went to pick him up. A friend is supposed to come with him tomorrow. Pray that that really happens. But you know, the possibility of this bus ministry has started with one boy that was excited about coming to church. one boy that's excited about coming to church. And there's an open door and there's a prepared heart. And notice what it says. As she attended to these things, verse 15, when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. Immediately, what does she do? Well, she starts coming to church every other Sunday. You know, she comes, and 3 months later, she starts coming to church Wednesday night. You know, and 5 months later, she starts coming to church Sunday night. Nope! This is the hand of the Lord. She gets saved, and she says, "My house is going to be the headquarters." That missionary team, Luke was on it, Paul was on it, Silas was on it, Timothy was on it. I don't know who else was on it, but there was a number of men on this team, and she said, "I want you to stay at my house. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to lodge you." And probably said, "The church is going to start right here. Whatever it takes." And of course, we know there's a big uproar in the city, and there's all sorts of problems, and this and that. What was there? There were prepared hearts. There were souls saved. And there were those who were going to give their substance and their life and their time and their things to make it happen. You know, as you think about it, that's what makes any church go. At any time. And any church that does not have that kind of participation is dying. It's dying. And that kind of church will never plant churches. Never. Never in a million years. But the heart of a church that takes to start a church is the same heart that makes a church a reproducing agent. But you know, that's why there's not a lot of churches started. Why? It's because churches start up and they have, obviously God does a miracle and there's hearts there and there are people that give themselves and they give their life to the ministry and to the church. But after a while, it starts dying down. And people are just glad to have a church. You know, the building is built and the pews are there and the carpet is laid and the bills have been paid. And so, you know, let's just enjoy church. And we don't need to win any more people to Christ. But you see, the whole process here of God starting churches. And so in the future, we're looking for God. We're looking for two things. We're looking for a revival in Mequonago Baptist Church. We're looking for a real revival of, rather than talking about seeing people get saved, we need a revival of people really getting saved. And you know what? It doesn't come out of the sky. I use that figuratively. It really does. God is the one. But you know, it always starts in our hearts. There's never a baby born without the travail of the mother. And there's never a soul won to Christ without the travail of a soul winner. And so there's this constant process. One of my visions, and it could be just mine, is that we perhaps, as we see our church revived, I think some of these things will just come naturally. On the other hand, I can see the possibility of going into some of these areas, seeing if there's some kind of an open door. And if there's an open door, then there will be people get saved. If there are places like Wales or Genesee or Waukesha to disciple those people. And then when these young preacher boys are ready, there would be two or three families that would be tested and proven and solidified, and people with conviction and standards and walk with God and have the power of God in their life. And then that church can get started and have great power. That's what it takes. Now, I think there's a challenge here. You know, people get saved and they just kind of take it easy. You know, they grow just a little bit. They get a few convictions, but, you know, they don't go all the way. And they obey to a degree, but they're not going to get radical. But you know, you'll never start churches with those kind of folks. You'll never start churches with those kind of folks. One of these young men goes out to start a church. They don't need someone that's at a 60% scale. They need someone that's right there. You know, they live for God, they're in church every service, they have family devotions, they're separated from the world, their music is right, they don't go to movies, they dress right, they don't want to look like the world, they don't want to act like the world, they got the right priorities, they're spiritually minded, they don't let all the hobbies of the world take over their life. They're self-sacrificial. They got strength. They know how to endure difficulty. They're just as steady as steady. You know, boy, now you can start churches. Now I wonder, do you have a vision for your life? Or do you just want to be kind of mediocre? You know, be mediocre. Just be mediocre. Let someone else have the convictions. Let someone else do the sacrificing. Let someone else do the soul winning. Let someone else. You know what? That's not God's will for anyone. Get a vision for your life. God says to the church, separate me these people to go start a church. And you know what? Who would God say to the church to pick? Someone at a 60% level? Is that the kind that you want helping you? No. You don't want that kind of helping you. They just drag down the church. Everything you preach to, they'll minimize it. God needs 100% Christians. That's what He needs. And just a real, you know, this is square shooting tonight. You know, are you the kind of family that God could use to start a church? That's a serious question. And you need, I want you to take that challenge in a positive way. I want you to take that challenge and say, you know what? Let's get moving here. Let's get moving. Let's start working in this church that we're at. Like it really counts. You know, if the wife is the laggard, get up there and get moving, get some convictions. If the husband's the laggard, get up and get moving, get some convictions. Start doing the will of God so you can be a complete family that God can use. Great, great need. And you know, that's why churches don't get started. You know why there's so many compromising churches? Because they start with compromising people. And then they look for a compromising pastor. And God's plan has to start with people who are filled with the Spirit. And so, you know, I'm preaching all this to myself. But, you know, we need to get a vision about what God's plan is for us of really being New Testament Christians. And we've seen folks here tonight talk about their burden to start churches. Well, I think we'd have to get a lot more powerful here. We'd have to let a lot more power of God in our church in order to ever get there. And so we have a lot of spiritual business to do. We have a lot of spiritual business to do. And we can start right now. I was talking to someone this week. I said, we were talking about seeing people get saved. And I said, okay, now if we got 3 or 4 more people get saved, who would disciple them? Who would disciple them? Who would have the commitment to say, I'm gonna disciple these people? The other thing is, who would have the example to be able to say, I can disciple these people, which means I'm going to tell them what's the right way, and they can look at me and they can say, hey, just do it the way I'm doing it. You know, you can't. I remember one time we were, a family in the church was burdened about reaching this family. And so I agreed to help them reach this family. And so we had Bible studies at this people's house with this family from the church. They wanted to reach this people. And so I agreed to help them, went there a week. And this family on a Wednesday night, we kept inviting them out to church Wednesday night. And so one Wednesday night, this family we were trying to reach came to church. Praise the Lord! But the people who asked me to help them, disciple them, weren't at church. And it was like putting, popping a balloon. You could just see the air just go right out of their sails. Because these people didn't really want to disciple someone. They wanted to think they were discipling somebody, but they didn't want to pay the price. And you know, the big question is, someone got saved, who would disciple them? Would you? Would you be able to disciple them? Would you be able to, would you have the commitment, the time? Would you be able to take 1 hour a week or 2 hours a week to disciple them? Would we be the example that we would need to be? You know, there's lots of key issues here that really say, what does it take for us to be a reproducing church? And there's a lot of spiritual issues that I think are at hand. And I think we can be challenged by these young people, these folks here, who want to start churches. And we can be challenged by their zeal and their willingness to pay the price and their zeal for the Lord, their hunger for souls. But they can't do it alone. Their work can't be on their shoulders. They have to come out of a ministry that is doing the same thing. They have to be coming from a ministry that is doing the same thing. Their leaving a ministry cannot be the end of that ministry winning souls. And that's why, you know, you think about it. That's why a lot of churches die. Because there's no one, there's not enough people in the church doing the work of God. So, let's take a challenge. And let's think about what it would take for us to start new churches. Some simple thoughts. Get a burden to have a ministry to some people. Get a burden to have a ministry to someone that you are reaching. It starts with a burden. Someone talked to me today. Well, there's a lady, Christina Wolf. Long story. She needs help. She needs some care. Someone said to me, you know, Pastor, I'm excited about this because I've been praying about someone to be able to minister to. You know, that's what it takes. A burden to have a ministry of reaching people for Christ. It takes that selflessness that says, I will do whatever I can do to build this ministry for God. Not just physically, not just financially, but spiritually. You know, the power of this church is in people who are what they ought to be spiritually. The power is people who get rid of wrong music, who get rid of the wrong clothes, who get rid of the world, who get rid of the wrong hobbies, who get rid of all that stuff and say, boy, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to win souls for Christ. That's the power. And all of us need that power. And that's what makes a powerful church. That's what it takes for a church to reproduce. Do you think so? What do you think, Tyler? You agree with that? Okay. I think, what do you think, Brother Preckelberg? Think that's right? Am I preaching right? Okay. And here's what it takes. Mike would always agree. Am I preaching it right? What do you think, Brother Ross? Okay. He even went like that, you know that? Can't you believe that? All right. Some serious thinking. By the way, please pray for Jordan, the bus ministry tomorrow. Pray for that. And I trust that you're really praying for our missionaries tomorrow. Pray for a great day tomorrow. Pray for our new believers to be here. Pray for Chrissy, that she would be here. Her mom can't work anymore on Sundays. They said they won't hire her on Sundays anymore. So she's going to have to come to church maybe. We need God's power. And we need to be unified in this desire to have God's blessing upon our church and to walk with God. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for the opportunity to look at the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the great truths. And Lord, we realize that the things of God, they aren't mechanical. Lord, the things of God aren't manipulated by money or even a super organization, Lord. The things of God are real. They have to do with what really is going on in our lives. It really has to do with what is really there. And Lord, every one of us have great needs. We all can be challenged by this. We all need to leave here tonight, Lord, getting refocusing on the Great Commission and starting with building up Jerusalem so it can be strong and be what it ought to be, so it can birth children. And those that come here, Lord, can be in an atmosphere of the Holy Spirit of God, where it isn't there's a sense that God is in control and God is working and His presence is felt and known. And Lord, so as we think about this, Lord, I pray that even now as we take a moment that you, your Holy Spirit, would sway over all of us as we take some moments. I pray that, Lord, that we would all at least look to you as to how we could implement and allow you to begin a greater work here, right here in Mequonegal.